Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
A Victory Monday here at Gillette. It's Christian Arkin. It's Andy Hart. It's WEEI Afternoons. We are live here from Foxborough on a Patriots Monday. A Victory Monday, one of the few that we've had so far this season, as we are now just about at the halfway point. 8.5 weeks, basically. That's it. 17 games now. And here we are, the Patriots with two wins to their name, the Jets with the same amount. A game that I think gives someone like Gerard Mayo a dose of redemption. Someone like Alex Van Pelt, I think, can feel a little bit like they can breathe a little bit easier going into this next week. And I do think also that there's something to be said for the way that this whole thing was handled by people from the outside. Teddy Bruschi, Bill Belichick, Mike Lombardi. Lots of people had J.J. Watt, who apologized. Lots of people had comments on Gerard Mayo calling the team soft and how you can never do that and what have you accomplished. You're a first-year head coach. You don't have the standing to call anybody soft. Blah, 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 blah. We heard everything. We heard every little
Richard
bit
Sherman's
it.
May have been the most biting.
Richard Sherman was another one. Thank you. Yes, on Thursday Night Football, went on and on and on about how Gerard Mayo has no business doing it. Yes, my dear friend Richard Sherman, through Amazon Prime, you know, we were both on camera there, so basically same level. I think that this was, in particular, in the face of all of that, this win was big for Gerard Mayo because now he can say, hey, you know, you guys may think you know my locker room, but it's my locker room, and I know what to say to motivate these guys, and I got them out there. They were ready to play. They were ready to play. No penalties. I mean, well, not no penalties, but very little penalties, no turnovers. I thought it was the most disciplined game they've played so far this year by far, and they went up against a team who was admittedly in a lot of turmoil and, as you said, a willing victim, and all of those things are true, but they're still a much more talented team. They were given the ball with a chance to take the lead. They did. They marched down the field, hit a big play, kicked a field goal, and did what they had to do. They did their job, and they did it, I think, in part because Gerard Mayo called them soft last week. I think that played into it, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe it played into it. Now, I think it ended up working out perfectly for him. The resiliency, the way you won, like having to come down to the wire. What was the thing I saw since 2017? This was the first. They trailed with 4 minutes to go, something, something. It was a good comeback.
Didn't Mac have a game-winning drive against the Bills last year?
I don't know what all the numbers were. It was Mike Reese, so I believe him.
Okay.
It was since 2017, so this was sort of a unique. And for the Jets, it was the opposite. This was the first game in football history where a team didn't turn the ball over, held an opponent to less than 250 yards, and lost. It was like 750-1.
Okay.
This was a remarkable loss for the Jets. But let's take the positive
side of
that.
It was a remarkable loss for the Jets.
Absolutely remarkable.
I agree.
But I think this is good for Gerard Mayo, even if it's just a breather.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be ugly as all hell.
He needed a breather.
I agree. Yeah. You know, I kind of started to hear rumblings that behind the scenes he was kind of losing a little energy, maybe not quite as talkative. Like, it was wearing on him, which, not a surprise. Human being, not sure. A robot. It's going to. It was going miserably. And as you just enumerated, a lot of respected fraternity members in the world of football.
Devin McCourty was his teammate.
Right.
Yeah.
Were taking shots at him.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't intend him to be shots, they were piling on. He was feeling
sure.
It, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So even if this is just like, you know, the sun's a little brighter and the, I don't know, the air's a little crisper kind of moment. And Alex Van Pelt, too. He's been feeling the pressure. He's been hearing the noise.
Definitely.
He's been getting odd questions from the afternoon show.
Well,
I mean, the
midday
show.
That's going to happen no matter what. So, you know.
So,
you got to just deal with that.
Is this something? I can't tell you this is going to snowball for the positive. I can't tell you this was the day that Gerard Mayo took over truly as the head coach of the New England Patriots. And, like, from here on out, we'll never question anything he says. And, like, he'll be given the benefit of Nope, I can't tell you any of that. But for that one game, and I think it was more important for him than the team.
Yes.
Like, for him than the victory. For him than the whatever. It was, like, this was a key Gerard Mayo win to, at the very least, just sort of keep things at bay for just the, like, the Wolves had been circling the Coyotes. Yeah, I don't know if you have Coyotes with your acorn
I saw a
field.
Coyote. I was driving by Legacy Place, and I saw a coyote.
That's not good.
Right outside of Hooters. It was right next to Hooter, and I
even
was like,
coyotes love Hooters.
I was like, is that a dog? What is that? My wife, she goes, that's a coyote. And it was walking, wow. Because it's right next to the Providence Highway. So it was, there was some trees and little bushes and stuff, and this coyote was just walking right over there, and I don't know, maybe they throw out the wings or something, and the coyote knows you can get a meal there, something like that. But he was going right to Hooters.
But sometimes behind my house, it sounds like there might be 1,000 coyotes howling, going off. And I think that's what, like, Gerard Mayo was like a little dog in the neighborhood, and all those coyotes were howling.
Gerard Mayo was Hooters.
Yes.
And the coyotes were the coyotes.
And now the coyotes have dispersed. Somebody lit a fire, and they dispersed, and they're kind of gone for a little while. They might come back. They might be back in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't make any long-term promises, but for the here and now, and that's all you can worry about, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Drake May. Like, the first couple games we took
– yeah.
They were losses. They weren't wins. The first game, he had turnovers, and he had some rookie. But it felt good. It felt necessary. It felt positive. This feels good and necessary and positive in the, if you're still having an optimistic view of the evolution, like Gerard Mayo's the coach and Drake Mayo, if you still believe all that, this was a positive step in that direction.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think even a game like the Seattle game, they lost that game by one score. Seattle's a legitimate team right now. You know, they're a good team there in that NFC West. And you were in that game. You were in that game to the end. You lost. You came up short, and no one likes to lose. But as Patriots fans, I think we looked at that, and we're okay with it. You know, it was like, well, there were some good things to take away from it. Clock management needs to be better. Brissette needs to be better. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever needs to be better. Fine. We all know that. But we were okay with it. It's when you're getting smoked by the Jaguars or when you're just completely non-competitive against the Houston Texans, those two Drake May games, where May actually played well, but you're getting just crushed. And that's not good for the coach. Even in a season where, as we've talked about, all that really matters is developing the quarterback, who appears to be, the injury notwithstanding, developing pretty well. You know, like he was adding another element to his game yesterday in that first quarter with all the rushes and the touchdown and everything. Like this seems like a train that's on the right track. Hopefully this injury is not too serious, but that's also mix in a couple of wins and a couple of moral victories here at the last 10 games of the season, 8 games, whatever it is. And you've got yourself something to look forward to, some momentum in the next year.
And I also think sometimes convenient narratives become true later.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that every player on that roster was like, we're going to go out and we're going to win one for Coach Mayo because all these jackasses in the media have been saying dumb stuff. And even Bill went after him. And you see McCourty. He can't even count on ex-teammates to have his back. But now they get the win, and like Keon White and others were like, yeah, we were challenged as men, and we had to stand up, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like it could almost be packaged moving forward more so than the reality of the moment, but it doesn't matter. It's how we remember it, and in some ways, perception is reality. Last week, perception was he was a clown coach who said a dumb thing and was going to lose his team. This week, the perception is he's a coach that knew his team better than we did. He pushed the right buttons. They fought for him. He got a hard-fought win, and now they're going in the right direction. I don't know if there was truth to either, but perception can be reality.
Perception can absolutely be reality, and I also think these guys are going to prefer to be looked at the other way. You know, like, we went out there to win one for coach or whatever it is.
Yeah, they want to be
aligned.
That
makes them look better,
Right, they want to be Keon White. And Devon Godshaw don't want to be like rabble-rousers and guys that question each other and authority. They want to be part of a unit that's building something.
And they want credit for the win, not the Jets lost. Like, we beat them. We went out there and did it, and we did it because we were playing for the car, whatever it is. Even if you don't agree with it, and maybe I don't 100% agree with that either because, my God, the Jets used 3 timeouts in the first quarter.
Did I just tell you?
Disaster.
It's the first time in 750 games that a scenario played out and the team lost.
I know.
So the Jets kind of screwed the pooch a little bit, but you're right. It doesn't matter if they feel like they were part of – and I do think the way the game plays out, you fight to the finish, like you kind of have to, and you let them, you kind of let them crap on themselves instead of you crapping on yourself, right? They just throw a throw in the middle of the field and the time runs out.
Yeah, that happened. Like Brissett against the Dolphins.
Yeah, it was Brissett exactly against like the Dolphins.
100%.
So it almost, you're at such a point where it almost doesn't matter if you didn't win it, you won it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let the other team be worse. That's okay to let the, that's the old Belichick thing. Don't lose it. They lost it.
Right.
Okay, still counts as a win. Still goes down in a win, and it still feels like a win. And it's still, this is their first Victory Monday, right? Because we were in here after the Bengals. I think they worked. I don't think they had Monday after the Bengals off.
Oh, yeah, I don't think so. You're right.
So I think this is their first taste of Victory Monday. It's Jonathan Jones's. We didn't know this when we talked to him. That's why we didn't ask him about it.
Right.
But Patriots just released the locker room video. Jonathan Jones taking over the duties.
Yeah.
He had never done that before because, well, they'd only done it once this year. So, like, there's little things.
He also has to pay for all the milkshakes at Red Robin's, which is what they do on Victory Mondays, right?
Oh, really?
But he goes over there for some hamburgers. I don't know. That like, would be what I'd want to do on a Victory
53
Monday.
53 milkshakes?
Yeah. So I'll go over
there.
Don't
they have all you can drink, too?
Burgers. They have all you can drink milkshakes?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
They're a little slow on the refills, and that wears on you.
Okay.
Because they don't want you to take advantage.
I don't know how many milkshakes I could drink in one sitting. How many milkshakes did you drink in one sitting?
What's my plan?
To set a milkshake record.
Not a lot, probably.
My milkshake.
Four?
I think I could probably get to like 2.5. I don't know if I can go more than that.
And I'm going to feel bad and probably have diarrhea and issues afterwards.
Oh, definitely. I might have it in the middle of the contest.
Yeah. Well, that was my other question. Do I get to like take bathroom breaks or
no.
do whatever
you gotta
I need
sit
to
there,
do?
You got
to
sit there until you're done with the milkshakes. 617-779-7937. Joe's in Randolph. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, Joe. Hi.
Yeah, well, I just want to mention, I don't think Mayo really has control of the locker room. I don't think he pushed the right buttons because he stood up, he called the team soft, and then he had to walk it back and swallow his words. And so if you're blowing hot and cold from day to day, you really aren't in charge and you don't have control. And I don't think that the team stepped up because of Coach Mayo. I think they stepped up because they're just sick and tired of losing and playing lousy football.
Okay, well, why'd they wait until week 8 to be tired of playing lousy football and losing? That seems a little convenient, doesn't it? He calls them out and challenges them, and they rise to the challenge. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, well, he called them out, and then he swallowed his words and had to walk them back. He didn't call anybody out.
Well,
he
both are calling out. Wait, but both
saying
are calling out.
Thanks for the call. Saying you played soft is calling them out.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just keeping it to one game as opposed to a more general description. But either way, he's calling out poor play
and
a bad characteristic.
And also, once it's out there, you can walk it back if you want to. It's out there.
Yeah,
you know, it's out there, and everybody knew it, and everybody reacted to it, and the players on the inside, you can come back and say, no, he actually just played soft. Every single one of those guys are like, man, coach called us soft. You know, like, that's what he said. That was the initial gut reaction, and that's usually the most honest one.
On a team where everybody has been quite comfortable letting everybody know their emotions about everything.
Oh, yeah.
Contracts, catches, targets, how the defense is. They've been honest about everything.
Keon White, penalties. I'm just going to keep doing them. Yeah, right.
Did anybody say anything that indicated they hated their coach or they were pissed at their coach?
I didn't hear anything about that.
I didn't either. So I'm going to take that to assume, given how open they've been with absolutely everything from start to finish this year, that they took it in a either didn't care, which is one example. I told you Dietrich Wise claimed he never heard it, which I still don't think it's ideal if he actually never heard
it. Yeah, I forgot about that. That one wasn't good.
That wasn't great. But I didn't hear anybody like, we're men. Like, remember, it's a long time ago, but the whole Adalys Thomas, I'm a man. I'm not a kindergartner.
Right.
Come to me.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anybody say, don't question me. I'm a professional. Maybe I didn't play. Like, there was no pushback at all.
Yeah.
So I think it landed.
Jalen Polk had more pushback on the mental thing, right?
Yes, yes.
Pushback on that. No one did that with the
So I think
thing,
this landed as well as you'd want it to or kind of how you want. I don't think it was a negative thing for Gerard Mayo. That call, I didn't care for that call.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the guy's opinion.
You just hate Gerard Mayo.
He's
that's
allowed
fine.
To have it if he wants to.
Yeah,
he might
just
not like it, but, you know.
But our coaches,
the results are what they are.
Are coaches not allowed to improve, learn on the job?
I think not only are they allowed to improve and learn on the job, they're allowed, even if they don't have a big track record, to call out their players.
Sure.
Bill Parcells called Terry Glenn a woman. I mean, like, suddenly we can't do that here? Right. Oh, that's the third rail? Like, what are we talking about? He called them soft. They played soft. It's okay. Like, that's, you know, these are adults. They're football players. They've probably been called worse by coaches at some point in their life than Gerard Mayo calling them soft after a terrible loss to the Jaguars.
Right.
They deserve to be called that, and they responded to it.
And I'm going to keep going back to, he meant it in a very technical way.
Right.
Run the ball, can't stop the run, can't cover kicks. That's what soft football teams do. You're not physical. You're not playing the game a certain way. We want to play the game that way. I'm guessing that's because he always talks about there, I forgot what he calls them, markers or goals or whatever, going into games. I'm guessing running the ball for a certain amount, stopping the run in a certain way, not giving up explosive plays in the kicking game. And when you don't check those, when I give you like four things to do and you don't do any of them, I'm not real happy, right? Like,
probably not.
As a coach. And it doesn't matter whether I say it perfectly or what. Bill said a lot of stupid stuff in Cleveland, if you go back to his Cleveland days when he was a first-time head coach. A lot of stupid stuff. There's legends about him talking about his team running the ball and not being able to do it the length of one of his body parts. So, like, don't tell me.
Which one?
The one you're thinking of.
Okay.
So, like, don't tell me you can't say dumb things as a young coach and learn from it and walk things back. Because he probably would have had to walk that back if it was more modern. Back then, you might be got away with it because it was the late 80s and whatever.
Yeah, it was the Bernie Kosar days. Anything.
Right, it was a different time.
Yeah, whatever you want. 617-779-7937. That's the phone number if you'd like to chime in. We're going to take a quick break. Stiz is going to get you caught up on what's trending. And we'll talk about not just Drake May and the hit that he took and how that may affect the immediate future here for the Patriots going up against Tennessee. But we'll take a look around the NFL. A very interesting week here in the National Football League with some upsets and some wild finishes here. We'll get to all that right after Stiz gets you caught up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
I'll say this, it was only one quarter, but it was a great quarter for Drake May up until he got hit in the head by Sherwood over there. And it didn't come out of the game right away. He stayed in for a couple more plays. Then it was Brissett for the rest of the game, basically the last three quarters that you saw. But prior to that, I thought that May looked pretty good. I thought that this was a natural progression for him. The Jets have a good secondary, although their safeties were both out. They did have their starting corners out there, and they do have, I think, a top five or maybe even a top three pass defense in the league right now. So that was a test for him. That was going to be a test for him, and I thought that for the most part, you didn't see him throw that much. He only threw six balls, but he was able to escape the pressure. He was able to get around, you know, Hassan Reddick and Mosley before he left the game, and who's the other linebacker they have there is pretty good. Either way, they have, you know, they got some guys there on that defense, and I thought that he navigated all that pretty well prior to the hit.
How long does this last?
What?
The honeymoon period, like the qualifiers, the, oh, he did this in a loss, or he got off to a good start, and then they lost, and then, oh, he looked good, then he got hurt. Like,
till the end of this year.
So he gets the whole year.
He gets this whole year because he didn't start the year.
Because these are all like mini moral victories, mini May moral victories, I will call them, where you're feeling good about certain things, but they're not really leading to, we live in a place where the same guy started every game and won every game. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, that's the quarterback
position. I don't think
people
are expecting that. I don't think they're expecting that from him.
But you're expecting to be a franchise quarterback, and you know what a franchise quarterback does? Plays every game,
mm-hmm.
plays every quarter, plays more often than not well, right? Like, plays at a better level more often than not. And right now, I just feel like he's getting the new guy, fresh guy, rookie guy treatment, honeymoon period. And I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very happy. Hell, I showed you my notebook. May is fun.
Yep.
That was my takeaway from this game. May is fun. Like, you have a modern quarterback. It's fun to enjoy the quarterback position again. The quarterback position has not been fun for the bulk of the last 5 years, whatever it's been. But how long do we then we hold him to the stand? Right now he's held to that standard. When does he get held to the standard of a real quarterback? The end of the year?
I think
he gets the
end
whole
of the
rookie year.
I think this, well, first of all, I think in terms of real quarterbacks, he's had numbers and had performances that are on par with the real quarterbacks in the league. So I don't think that it's all, like, if he went out there and had a real stinker of a game, he hasn't had one of those yet.
Nope.
If he went out there and had one of those, people would mention it. People would say it. It would be something that was part of it. You might not be quite as rabid about it because it's still his first year, and he joined a team that was 1-4. I mean, he didn't join the team, but he started when the team was already 1-4, so he didn't have a great, there was no expectations for them to win a bunch of games and make a playoff push
sure.
or anything like that. And now with his injury, I think that's even going to do more for this. But I'd say till the end of this season, people are going to look at this as Drake May's development is what matters. Next year, it's going to be Drake May's results and the team results with him quarterbacking it. That's when it's going to start to be, okay, you had your rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
We know it was kind of a mess, and the receivers were dropping the balls, and Stevenson was fumbling, and blah, 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 all this other stuff happened. Alex Van Pelt was your offensive coordinator. Who knows if he's going to be next year? Like, a lot of things could change between now and then. But I think that that's, for me anyway, it's going to be the end of any kind of grace period for a second-year quarterback. Now you got to start producing.
I guess I was kind of thinking back in a little bit of a way to Jimmy Garoppolo when he filled in for Brady, and it was awesome first game.
Yep.
Oh, my God, the beginning of the second game was, oh, he's hurt.
Yep.
Oh, and now he's not playing.
Nico Alonso just earth-slammed him into the ground.
And now he's soft and a pansy, and Scott Zolak's ripping him all over the radio everywhere he can speak. And, like, it turned on that quickly. And I know it's different because he was never probably going to be the guy, mm-hmm. so it didn't really matter. But that was a short honeymoon period for Jimmy Garoppolo in a different situation. And I just wonder, will it be good enough all year? Because as you said, I don't love how you say it and portray it and display it, but he had a knee issue and a head issue
mm-hmm.
in 2.25 games.
Yep.
That's not a great ratio, right?
No.
In 5 games, that means there's 2 more injuries coming. In 10 games, that means there's 4 more injuries coming.
And like, maybe he's injury prone. You know?
See, you're doing it already.
Maybe he is.
I don't think he is.
Okay, I hope he's not. I don't want him to be, but maybe, yeah, listen, guys are injury prone sometimes. It happens.
And that these know? Are the questions
Jimmy
I'm going to ask.
Jimmy Garoppolo is injury prone.
Or maybe he's, yeah, he's good and he's fun, but he doesn't win. Like, that'll be a question at some point.
Because
mm-hmm. quarterbacks, even young ones, we've had enough of them lately, from C.J. Stroud to Jaden Daniels.
Sure have.
Find a way to win.
Yep.
Now they're already questioning in Chicago Caleb Williams and what kind of quarterback he's going to be. Like, the honeymoon period feels like it's ending rather quickly for him.
Yeah,
in
I
Chicago.
Guess. I don't know if I'd blame that game on him, but
it's no, I'd blame it on Stevenson.
Yeah, I'd blame it on whatever that guy. Yeah, the guy who didn't come back and guard the tip guy in the back of the end zone. But you know, you're right.
He was like a wrestler in that. Like, that was a bad. You know how you're always like, how do you not see what's going on behind you? He was like a wrestler addressing the crowd while his tag teammate is getting like a chair shot and getting smashed and like. That was almost I've never seen. You talk about things you've never seen before,
mm-hmm.
like the timeouts or the 2-point. And I've never seen a guy that engaged with the crowd. And then...
And he was... I mean, once the play started, he was where he needed to be. He got back into
the end
zone.
That he was. He was supposed to be with the deep guy.
But then,
and he deflected the ball to the deep guy.
Yeah.
What
I mean is he got his hand on the ball.
Yeah.
He deflected.
Well, maybe if he wasn't jawing with the crowd for the first 3 seconds of the play, he would have just caught the ball or batted it down instead of late throwing a hand up, deflecting it up, and the guy's just like, wow, boy, am I glad there's nobody around me. I thought there'd be more people here, but touchdown.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing, I got to say. That's the type of thing happens in a special season. Washington's having a special season.
Oh,
you can tell.
How special?
I think it's a special season for them. Not Super Bowl special, but maybe a playoff win special. I could see that.
Yeah, I don't rule that out.
I could see them doing that this year.
Because I think he's
last
special.
Last year, Stroud was special, and they won a playoff game, and
right.
They got smoked by Baltimore. But, you know, that could happen with this Washington team.
I think Daniel is more special.
Might be.
I don't. He exudes a certain aura or thing. He started it at LSU.
Yep.
And
well, he started at Arizona State.
No, but I mean, I think the it factor somehow kind of started to develop at LSU. Even the Heisman ceremony. I don't even remember what I liked, but I remember enjoying the Heisman ceremony. Something to do with interaction with his parents. I think there was something there. And now seeing the way he carries himself. He doesn't do anything that seems rookie-esque. Like, no disrespect to our guy. I love Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a youthful rookiness to him.
He definitely does. He seems like a young guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Jaden Daniels seems like the starting quarterback of the Commanders. Right? Just like in a...
He walked in and he got it.
Yeah.
This is where he should be.
Right? Yeah. He has that. And I agree with the specialness in terms of that. I don't know where that leads to. Because that's the other thing. This is why I love the NFL. Ah, they're having a special season. They hit a Hail Mary. They could lose their next four games.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, Washington's back to where they belong.
Not special anymore.
Right. And or Dallas could get hot. Tomorrow, we definitely should do the Bill Watch.
Oh, 100%. I'm annoyed that I forgot about it today. But, yes, we should definitely get into that as well. 617-779-7937. Shane is in Plymouth. He has a thought on the sliding technique of Drake May. Go ahead, Shane.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to talk to Andy about it, but 345 more wins, that's what Mayo needs to tie Shula. So we're on our way.
All right, hey, pretty any day now, we'll get there.
Yeah, just keep chopping wood, right? But
yep.
Andy, I like all your takes and everything.
Thanks.
What about, like, Jaden Daniels or Drake May? If they do what you do, they're going to be a paraplegic invalid drooling on themselves. Why are you telling people to dive head first into people like Barmore or Micah Parsons?
Whoa. I didn't say I dive into
Andy,
people.
Reckless. Andy,
avoid the people. No. Avoid the people.
You clearly said
nope.
2 days
oh,
now,
I didn't.
2 days
yeah,
in a row,
no.
Andy, you've been hyping this take on the radio. It's reckless.
For listening.
You're telling people that play quarterback or positions like that to dive head first, that it's safer. Yeah.
Yes.
Dive head first.
Yes.
You're going to get somebody paralyzed, Andy.
No.
Watch what you're saying.
But that makes no sense.
Head coach of UConn said that.
Yeah.
Take it up with him.
Because I never said run headfirst into the solid mass, like cops that shoot center of mass don't shoot center of mass.
What's going to happen, Andy, when people are diving headfirst? What's
they'll dive to the left or to the right. They control where they go.
They have a penalty for that when the defender piles on. That's a penalty. It's a flag. But what Andy's talking about is going to get somebody paralyzed.
You keep saying paralyzed. It's not going to get somebody paralyzed. How many running backs get paralyzed? I see them lower their head all the time. What are you
Andy,
talking about?
I'm telling people, point their head and dive head first.
Yes. So not into a person. Not into
the
a person. There's space.
So
there's
each other at maximum velocity, and the guy
oh, so now the defender is spearing? Is the defender spearing? Is the defender spearing? Because now it's another penalty. That's called spearing.
You'll be drooling and paralyzed for the rest of your life.
Okay. Yeah. You can keep being dramatic with the paralysis.
I mean, this is reckless.
I mean, what are you talking about? If they dive head first and they hit another helmet, that's
Jim
called spear.
Jim Mora Jr., the playoff guy's son, what did he ever do? That guy's a terrible
coach. An NFL team,
D1 team,
coached Washington, coached UCLA, coaches UConn. I would think he'd qualify as a football expert.
All of them. Failed with the Falcons, failed in college. Now he's bummed his way all the way down to UConn. Awesome resume.
Why do you hate
anyway,
him?
Andy, you are telling people to dive with their heads.
Let me guess,
first.
They're going to get paralyzed.
Yes.
I beat you to it.
All right.
Yeah, well, jackal.
That was a fun call. I enjoyed that. Thanks, Shane.
I do appreciate the call, Shane.
779-7937 is the phone number. By the way, and I'm just realizing this now, it is time for us too, and we've
circling the drain was that
all
call.
Day. It was, yes, indeed. Take a look at the football National Football League's league leaders and who's circling the drain, presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at Drains by James. They give a poop about your pipes. Who do you want, circling the drain or league leader, Andy?
I'll do circling the drain.
Okay, and I wonder who it is.
Circling the drain. No. Circling the drain everywhere is the ability, apparently, quarterbacks to walk, because if they ever dive forward, they're all going to be paralyzed and drooling, according to Shane. Even though I watch guys do it all the time, and you know what my biggest question would be? Would be shoulders. Teaching them to dive in a way that they don't pop out a shoulder, you know, suffer an AC separation, AC joint, break a collarbone. But I think it can be done quite easily. You teach them to fall. Maybe you can go to Giselle's jiu-jitsu instructor to teach them to fall properly forward.
Oh, you
forward.
Mean the expectants.
She slipped forward and fell on his...
Hey!
Well, whoa!
What?
Hey! Whoa! I don't know.
Now she's got a baby.
That's true. If you didn't know this, I was gonna save this for odds and ends. But congratulations!
Yes,
to the happy couple, Giselle and the karate guy, are expecting their first
jiu-jitsu.
Child.
Don't just throw it around
jiu-jitsu,
like that.
Jiu-jitsu, whatever.
They're not all the same.
The martial artist and Giselle are expecting their first child, her third, but they're together first little baby. That's beautiful, I think, and that's brave of her. She's like 45, right? And
brave of her.
Yeah, you know, most ladies that age often don't get pregnant again. They don't try to.
True.
You know,
I don't know if she was trying to.
Maybe she wasn't.
Maybe she was just having fun.
Could be. You know, it certainly could be.
But yeah, circling the drain are spines everywhere if quarterbacks dive head first. Apparently, even though I can't remember the last running back who leads with his head, because they all lower their heads. Correct, running backs.
Pretty much. Yeah.
How many of those have been paralyzed lately? You see them all drooling all over the place.
The only guy that ever got paralyzed ever was that tight end of Buffalo. Remember? And then the Dr. Cappuccino fixed him, and he was walking around. He walked into the locker room. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I don't think Kevin, that's the only guy.
He's the only guy I can remember.
He was the guy at Rutgers.
NFL
the most
player,
common one.
The NFL player.
The two pass rushers hitting each other. Remember the guy in the Jets did it? They're like the DNs and the quarterback moves, and they like collide head first. That's been a common one. Or on special teams.
Who got paralyzed? Who's been paralyzed in the NFL recently?
Oh, not that many. That's my whole point.
That's right. Kevin...
Shane was a boob. I appreciate you liking my takes other than this one, but that was a boob of a phone call.
What was that guy's name? Tight end paralyzed. It was Kevin something. Kevin Everett. Kevin Everett
yes.
was the guy. Yeah. And I remember the play, too. It wasn't even much of a play. He was just running up to make a block, and he hit the guy head
first. It usually isn't.
He was down, and he was paralyzed, and then they reversed it. That guy, I remember the guy's name was Dr. Cappuccino.
Oh, I thought you were making a bad joke.
I'm not making a joke. I swear to God.
I thought it was a poorly placed joke.
Dr. Andrew Surgeon, orthopedic surgeon Andrew Cappuccino, who performed the surgery and used a treatment called induced hypothermia to reduce the swelling around Everett's spine. And then he was up that same season. He got up and he walked into the locker room and made a speech to the team, and then they lost to the Patriots. But I remember all that happening, and that's the only guy I remember in my lifetime, NFL player, that ever got paralyzed.
Yeah, there was the kid at Rutgers.
Yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Special teams play. I mean, there's a handful, and it's usually, you're right, it's not from the dramatic hit, the dramatic lowering of the head.
Right.
It's usually something more seemingly benign. But yes, thank you, Shane.
All right, so that's who's circling the drain. Who's leading the league? There's a couple of different ways I could go here. The Detroit Lions with a huge win over the Tennessee Titans. Your next opponent, by the way.
Mm.
You can make a case for them. You can make a case for the Buffalo Bills having sewed up the AFC East with a punishing win over the Seahawks in Seattle. But it's got to be the Chiefs, right? They're still undefeated.
Yes. As much as Patriots fans don't want to acknowledge it and want to say Patrick Mahomes stinks and he's not playing well, and some idiot Andy Hart said Drake May's playing better football, which... He may actually be playing better football, but the Chiefs
Mahomes
are undefeated.
Had a good game. He had a good game yesterday.
I don't know. I saw an ugly pick.
Kelsey had a good game, too.
It's about time Kelsey came
got in the end zone, 90-yard. Like, for him, that's big stuff today. And then, of course, the Commanders improving to 6-2, 4-0 at home with that crazy, crazy Hail Mary finish. You got to put them up there, too. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up with odds and ends. Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. I do have something else for this segment, but we just kind of glossed over this whole Giselle news.
You really want to dive into it.
Giselle.
You're going to go buy some mags? Like People and all these things?
Well, I don't think it's hit the mags yet.
That's true. It's only digital.
It's only digital.
Online exclusive.
There, I'm going to be over in my grocery store line. I'm going to be reading those things.
Is there an ultrasound photo?
I might pick one up. I have not seen one. I have not seen one of those. I don't know. But I will say this. We know all about what Giselle's doing. Tom Brady at first was dating Clooney's ex, you know, what's her, Rena Shank or whatever her name is. And then she went back with somebody. Maybe it wasn't Clooney. It was...
Wait, are you into this stuff?
Well, I'm only into it because we haven't heard a peep about who Tom Brady's seeing these days.
Maybe that means he's in a more serious relationship.
It could be. It could be. Maybe he's just slutting around. It could be that,
excuse
too.
Me?
What?
I don't know if we can say that.
Yeah, you can't. Oh, sorry. Well, I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's just, you know, putting it out on the street for everybody to see. It could be. I have no idea. I don't know what Tom Brady's doing. And listen, he's a single man. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. But
all the single men?
We're not hearing a peep. We haven't heard a peep about
it. It's been
Tom
a while. For a while
great?
there were a lot of videos, reports, different women. There was that one girl who wasn't really the blonde who kind of used it like she wanted to be Tom. She's a smoke
show. Oh, Veronica.
Show.
What's her name? Yeah, I remember
I still follow her.
I follow
Instagram.
Her on Instagram, too, I think. Yeah. I wonder what she's up to these days. Oh, the abs on her.
But, oh, yeah, the abs. That's what I was looking at.
Definitely.
The abs. No, you're right. It's kind of gone. But that makes me wonder, maybe he has like a more serious, like.
Wouldn't we know that?
Not if he wants to really.
And that, Tom Brady's so famous at this point that it doesn't matter what he wants. If he's dating somebody, we're going to know about it. I just feel like that's the way it is. That's where the paparazzi follow these people around so they can see who they're dating and then report about it and put it in the magazines. I haven't heard a peep about it.
Or this seems like something kind of hardo that he could do. He's focusing on his career right now.
Right.
And, like, preparing for these games and then the whole Raiders deal and that. And he's like, he's really a career man right now. He doesn't have time to date. Mm-hmm. I feel like he could say something like that.
Yeah. Sure.
I bet it changes, though, if he does. Because he sees this. I can't imagine he's going to be real happy about this.
That's maybe what I wanted to ask you guys.
That's
you guys
probably it.
Because
now I think, now that it's out that Giselle's pregnant, he's got to respond, doesn't he?
Right. And, I still don't know all the details of this, like the whens and the hows and how this all played out. Like, he needs to feel a little not cool about this.
He's going to respond and say, in typical Tom Brady fashion, I'm happy for Giselle. We co-parent our kids and, you know, we have a beautiful family.
I hope not. Because when they got divorced, he put out that statement and she put out a more biting one that I didn't like.
Right.
Hers was douchey.
And then the roast happened and I think he got his lick back there, if you want. Right?
No, I thought he was
offended.
This is
her lick back for the roast.
This is the lick back for the roast. Yes. It's really getting...
I have a thought in my mind that I'm going to keep to myself because I don't think I'm allowed to say it.
You're not.
You know
I think
I mean.
You guys need to go to sex ed class because I don't think that's how you get pregnant.
That is not how you get pregnant.
In fact, that's how you avoid it.
A stork comes with a little baby. That's how it happens.
That's
by the way, the NCAA Division I men's basketball first team all name team has
quite
been
a transition
released.
Here.
Are we ready for the all name team?
Lickback Smith.
Lickback Smith did not make the list this year, but I can tell you who did. A guard from Rhode Island named Always Wright.
Yeah, that's me.
Always right.
Just ask my wife.
The Andy Hart autobiography, I think, is going to be called that. Po' Boy King, who plays guard for North Carolina Central. Tennessee Rainwater, a guard forward at Utah Tech. Gob Gob, a guard at Kansas City. G-O-B-G-O-B. It could be Job, I guess. But I'm going to say Gob Gob.
Gob Gob.
Supreme Cook, forward for Oregon. Mm. And Kaiyu, K-A-I-Y-U, the center at Liberty. That's the first team. Second team, I think, is actually better than the first
team. Oh.
Second team has starting at guard Jizzle James.
What's his nickname?
You'd have to ask him. the other guard over on the other side is Fat Fat Brooks. Both fat spelled P-H-A-T. Fat Fat Brooks.
Yes. So fat, you need to say it twice.
Also at guard Snooky Wigginton.
I did it all for the Snooky.
He plays for Ryder. I don't even know where Ryder is.
I don't even know her.
Clyron Hornbeak, a forward center for Kent State. I think that's my favorite. Clyron Hornbeak.
Really?
That's a good name. You know what? If my name was Clyron Hornbeak, I'd make sure all my kids, Clyron Hornbeak the second, Clyron Hornbeak the third, Clyron Hornbeak, there'd be a million
whole
Clyron
Hornbeak family would just
would
be Clyrons.
It would be a long line of Clyron Hornbeaks. There's also Churchill Bounds, forward
kinda
for Wagner.
Like that one.
And let's see. Yeah, that's it for Team 2. The honorable mentions, we have George Washington the third, Tony,
has
guard
done it
for
again.
UAB, yes. Solo Ball, he was guard for UConn.
That's too bad.
Let's see. What else do we have here? Stoney Hadnot, forward for South Dakota State. Zytarius Mortal, a guard for Texas Southern.
He's going to die.
And how about Sir Muhammad, guard for Notre Dame. Sir Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
That's some pretty good names right there in the NCAA.
That is very good.
What do you got for odds and ends, Andy?
Oh, I got nothing. I thought you were just going to do the whole list. Sorry.
That is basically the entire list.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I love those. I always study this is the dumbest thing, but when I start my draft preparation, one of the first things I do is just go, like when they put out, these 300 people are going to be drafted for the NFL draft, I go through and I skim for, like, the funny names.
Yeah.
I start there, which is so, like, a waste. Like, the guy on the, I think, Tennessee, we see one of them this week. Isn't Stormy Duck
on Tennessee?
Stormy Duck.
I believe Stormy Duck
I thought Stormy Duck was on the Dolphins.
Oh, was he?
No.
Did I already face him?
Stormy Duck is on the Dolphins. Yeah, we already faced Stormy Duck.
I thought the Titans had another funny one then.
Maybe they do, but it's not Stormy Duck.
I like Stormy Duck.
There's DeColdis Crawford, who plays for Louisiana Tech. He's a wide receiver. There's a lot of good names.
But
out there,
thing about these is they all started as that Key and Peele skit. Remember that, like, years ago?
Yes.
And like then reality started to mimic art.
yeah, that's true. The Key and Peele skit was
tremendous.
Yeah,
tremendous. Well done.
Jack Meritrix, Tech Theratrix. Jadinkalich Morgan. There's some good ones on that one.
Yeah, there are.
Anyway, that's all the time we have here today. I want to say thanks to Jacoby Brissett. Thanks to Jonathan Jones. Nice job, Stiz, back there in our studio. We're back in studio tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll get into some of this Belichick stuff as well, and Bill Watch will be back on.
Yeah.
Celtics basketball tonight. Lots to react to outside of the Patriots, including the World Series. That's all coming up. And stay right here. Stick around right here as you got Fitzy and Mego, I believe, taking you right up until Monday Night Football right here on WEEI. Talk to you tomorrow at 2. Goodbye.
See ya.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.